Hi, this is William Van Grohl from Virginia, and you're listening to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 26 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on the show is Michelle Scribner-McLean, who's getting ready for New Year's Eve.
I am. And Mike, I am tapering. I love tapering. Everybody keeps on saying you're going to really go crazy and really want to increase your mileage or stay at the same mileage. But right now, I'm really just enjoying the fact that I know that I did my training and I'm going to do the best I can. So how are you feeling?
I wish I could say the same thing, but because of being on the shelf for an extended period of time, I have no taper. Well, I might have a week or two to taper off, but stomach bug. I don't know. It's quite a challenge.
Enjoy the
tapering.
So I have a shout out.
Oh, cool!
It's a new thing I'm doing. And the shout out is to somebody called Chris Trawick, and he's from Catula, Georgia. And the reason that I'm giving Chris a shout out is we, on our last show, we talked about, or a few shows ago, we talked about just what I was just mentioning, the tapering and things like that. And Chris is a veteran runner, and he went on our Facebook page and gave people lots of great advice. He really took a long time in really describing what his opinion of what you need to think about. And I really want to give him a shout out for that, because I think it's worth it if you haven't gone on to see the things that he said. But he just used his wealth of experience to give us all different ideas what we should do and what we should think about. So thank you so much, Chris, for taking the time to do that. And that's
Thanks, Chris. We want
that Facebook community to be is a community of people helping each other, because we don't know all the answers.
We don't. We don't?
Well, we're trying, but nobody knows all the answers, Mike.
Well, we may have all the answers. We may not have all the right answers, but we do our best.
Okay,
it's question show again, and so let's start off with our first question, and it comes from Beth Anderson from Clinton Township, Michigan. And Beth says, "Hi, Michelle, Mike, and Steve. I was wondering how you all feel about ice baths. I started doing them last year when I was training for the Goofy for any run over 10 miles. I think it really helped in my recovery, especially between races." Okay, Michelle, why don't you have done ice baths. I have not. So why don't you first explain what they are?
Sure. Okay. So I actually did one today. I ran 20 miles. We're recording this a few days before we release it, but an ice bath is right after your run, within an hour, you get into the bathtub and you sit in the bathtub and you gradually add ice into the bathtub. So before I knew really how to do it, and my friends told me I was doing it incorrectly, I just started off filling the bath and throwing ice in there and then jumping in. But now I do it a lot differently, and it's much more bearable. I actually found it not too bad at all today. So I have transitioned to going to the ice bath with pretty much all my clothes, my running clothes on, including my socks today. Sit in the bathtub with cold water, get a big old bucket of ice, get it ready, get my sons to lug it up to the bathroom, and I gradually add about a cup at a time of ice into the water. And covering up my legs, I sit there for about 15 minutes. And the nice thing about wearing your clothes is it's not a huge, huge shock. Of course, then at the end you have wet, cold clothes, but it's much nicer sitting down in the bathtub. And then right from there, I just transition into a shower and peel everything off, obviously. The nice thing about the ice baths, and I can tell you because I there was a difference. When I did my 23-mile run, I didn't do an ice bath. I decided, oh, I don't need it. But the 20-mile run that I did before, I had almost no problems at all the next day in terms of soreness. So I think there are different ideas. You know, some people swear by them. Some people say that they don't make a difference at all. For me, they make a difference. And I would suggest if you are doing longer runs that it's a good way. I think what it does is it prevents muscle swelling and it helps recovery time. And so I'm a big ice bath fan now. I hate the cold. It's not the nicest thing in the world. I wouldn't say I daydream about having an ice bath, but I'm a big advocate. What do you think, Mike?
Well, one of the things that I was thinking as you were describing it, you have very special compression tights on too. So you're getting ice and you're getting compression at the same time. And that will do so many things. It will help the recovery regarding circulation. Not only that, but any inflammation that was beginning to build in your legs immediately was interrupted, and you were going through a cool down. So
right. I mean, and you know, I have issues with my IT band. I've developed Achilles issues, yeah. And I would come home before I did ice bath and ice up my knee and ice up my Achilles. And so now you're just really doing it all at the same time. So it sounds It sounds like one of the circles of Dante's Inferno. It really, the ice bath, but it really helps for the next day. So I would recommend trying it if you can stomach it.
Yeah, and again, get in the tub and slowly add the ice. Don't add the ice and then jump in the tub.
Right, right. And to me, keeping my clothes on really makes a difference. And I have friends who drink coffee in there or hot chocolate after their run. And so some of them post their pictures on Facebook too. I wouldn't recommend that.
Thank you, Beth, for that question. Next question comes from Tina Tisi of Alberta, Canada. And Tina says, hi, everyone. I love your podcast. I have started training in October 2011. I have been trained with the John Staton method. It has worked well for me. I live in St. Albert, Alberta, and it has been a real bad winter so far. I usually run outside, but I have been running on a track indoors the past 6 weeks. Also, I am a bit gun-shy running outside because I had a bad wrist sprain last February while outdoor running. I mean, she doesn't say what happened, but my guess is that she fell and she sprained her wrist because of ice or something. Yikes. She says, I am a bit worried on running outside in the half in January. Do you have any tips? I also want to know, I was going to start tapering off this weekend, or should I do another long run, 11-mile run? It's not very exciting doing long, long runs inside on a track. I've gotten a lot of great info on your podcast about everything on Run Disney. I love it. Thanks. Tina. Okay, so running in the winter. She wants to know, worried on running outside the half in January. Do you have any tips? Well, Tina, first off, it sounds like you've done all the training that you need to do, and it sounds like you're ready. You do have 3 weeks to go. As of this, let me see, would you say be 3 weeks as of this podcast? Approximately 3 weeks. So I would say 2 weeks before the half would probably be the last. I would suggest doing a long run, like an 11-mile run. When you come down to Orlando in January, I wish I could tell you that it'd be warm weather. My guess is that it will be warmer than Alberta, Canada. But I can tell you that Michelle and I once did a half marathon down here in January, and it was 38 degrees as we walked to the corrals, and it was sleeting. And I can remember running a half in which I just ran in a shorts and in a t-shirt, and I was sweating like crazy. So be prepared. I think we've mentioned it many times, and we'll probably do a show on what kind of gear to pack for. But I would say be prepared for anything when you go to Orlando.
I want to add one more thing too, Mike, which is that, I don't think it's going to be icy, so I think you shouldn't worry about that. And if something does happen, if you do take a spill, there are a lot of medical tents. But last year, Mike and I trained in New Hampshire. We go to the same Y. We trained for the half, and then the next day we were doing the half relay. And our last long runs were in an indoor, marathon relay, sorry. Our last long runs were in an indoor track at the YMCA. And so it was just over 7 laps to a mile. And it was a lot, but we were fine when we got there. We were fine. We did 11 miles or 10 miles on the indoor track. So I think you'll be fine. I think you'll be absolutely fine. The nice thing about an indoor track when you compare it to Disney races, most of the Disney races flat like an indoor track is. So, but if you get a chance, maybe try a little treadmill with a little elevation for a little bit of it, but I think you'll be fine.
I think so too. And again, I would not do any long runs closer than 2 weeks before the actual race weekend, and you'll be fine. You want to give your body a little rest and make sure that you're not going to be over fatigued. So thanks for that question, Tina. Our next question comes from Akron, Ohio, and it's from Kristen Cola, which sounds like a new soft drink. Kristen says, "Hi, guys. Love the podcast. It came at the perfect time because I am about to finally run my first Disney race in January. I am running the Goofy next month, and my two sisters will also be running, but they're doing the half only. When we looked up our corral assignments, my sisters were in the same corral, but I did not realize that the Goofy runners were in completely separate corral, letters. She says corral letter. I was hoping that for the half, the three of us could run together. Does this mean we start completely separately and I'll have to try and find them on the course, which sounds impossible given the sheer number of runners, or run without them? Since I've never been down for marathon weekend, I have no idea how this works. But since we were hoping to run together for the half race, any insight you can offer would greatly appreciated. Thank you so much. Happy holidays. See you in a few weeks." So my first question is that I don't know if there's any difference between someone signing up for the Goofy or somebody signing up for the half. I believe that the corral assignments are based solely on race times, which you have recorded in certain races that Disney recognizes as being races that can be used to determine where you should be placed in a corral. Michelle?
Well, it's a little confusing, I could see, especially if you're doing your first Disney race. My understanding, Kristen, is, and it does sound like a great name of a soda. My understanding, Kristen, is that the Goofy racers have numbers that start with 25,000 and later. So you should right now have gotten your final race instructions, and it should tell you, based on your time, just as Mike said, what corral you're going to be in. So you're not going to be, the Goofy runners are not in different corrals. We're all mixed in together, so that's good. If you have if say you do an 11-minute mile and you're in corral D and your sisters are in corral F, the higher corral number person can always go back and join that person. So you won't have to find them on the race course. They cannot go up and join you in D if they're in F. So you'll be fine. If they have a higher number, they can go back and join you. So you'll get a chance to run together. At the very least, you could all get at the end and run together. And so don't worry about it at all. But the Goofy runners are mixed in with everybody for the half and the full.
That was a good point, Michelle, about moving corral. You can always move back in the corrals, and if you're doing the Goofy, you may want to run. I'm assuming that Kristen's sisters have recorded slower race times, and maybe they are behind her in the corrals, and so maybe, I mean, if she wants to run with them, it's great, because if they are going to run at a slower pace than she would have been expected to race in the corral, then that would give her, you know, less energy to burn. She would not burn that much energy, and she'd be ready for the marathon the next day.
Yeah, there are Goofy running friends talk about it a lot, that they use that half marathon as a really, calm, easy pace so that they have enough in the tank the next day when they do the full. So take it easy with your sisters. Have a great time, and you will have no problems. And we hope to see you.
That's right. And we have another question, and it comes from Matt Kahn. And Matt says, I have run marathon weekend races a few times and have a pretty good feeling about what to expect. This year is the first time that we have a child in the kids' races. My three-year-old will be running her very first race on the Friday morning. I know next to nothing about what we need to do or what to expect from this experience. Can you guys fill us in on what we need to do for the race and what kind of experience to expect? She is very excited, and I can't wait to see her start her running career. Thanks for the show. I really enjoy listening to it. So the kids' race that his three-year-old daughter will be doing will be a 100-meter race, Michelle, right?
Yes. You know, Mike, you and I kind of talked about this before we started recording the show, and I think that at some point we have some friends who have had kids in lots of the races. We will have a dedicated show on just the races because it's something that we're seeing in most of the Disney races now. But so what I did is I went on the Run Disney website and just did a little bit of research. And what I found out, which I didn't know, is they're actually, the races actually go for three different days and they repeat the races. So there are some races on January 10th. They start at 3 p.m., January 11th, 11 a.m., and Saturday, January 12th, 11 a.m. All the races happen down on the near the track at the ESPN Wide World of Sports. And it's kind of a nice thing because parents can go pick up their race packet if they're doing the half, the 5K, or the full, or the goofy. And then they can mosey on down to the fields to do the kids' races. Now, the kids' races are for kids who are under 13, and actually some of them are not full, so you can register for some of them. Okay, Mike, we actually have one more question today, and it's a question that just came in today by somebody on Facebook, and I added this question because it sounded like he was very, very worried, and it's kind of time sensitive. So it's from James Ward on Facebook, and he says, "Hi all, I'm getting a bit worried as my longest run has been 18. And I have a 20 scheduled for the 29th. It sounds like he's doing the January race weekend. Do you think this is too much training and not enough taper time? What do you think, Mike?"
If you had a choice, I would say it's getting pretty close. I know, James, it sounds pretty much as to what I'm trying to do, too, because I lost some training time. Usually, beginning in the first or second week in December, you would begin your taper. I know that Michelle this past weekend had her last long race. I think that you're...
Not a race, just a run.
I mean, her last long run, 20-miler. I think that, and again, I don't know what condition you're in. I don't know how your training has gone. If you are really, really pushing it, then you're pushing it. But if you are just loving the long runs and you're pretty much at the level you need to be and you know what your body is all about, then you're going to be okay. I would just say once you finish that last 20-miler, I would say really taper down quite a bit. I would keep it under, I would stick with a 10K maximum for the last 2 weeks because you really need to give your legs a chance to recover. Michelle?
Oh, I completely agree. I think, you know, the thing that was happening with me today, James, on my 20-mile, is I started to get a little bit of Achilles pain at about mile 17, and I kept on saying to myself, Michelle, you need to stay healthy so that you can run this marathon. And I think that's the bottom line. There are nerves at the end. You've done all this training. You want to make sure that you're trained enough. But the bottom line is you got to be healthy. And Mike is absolutely right. You know your body better than anyone else. But I'm not an expert in all training plans, but pretty much everything that I've read says that you should be tapering down 3 weeks ahead of time. I think if Steve were here, he would say he maybe tapers 2 weeks ahead of time. Steve's run 100-mile races, though. But I think you have to give your body time to just get ready for that race and repair all the little muscle tears that happen during those long runs. And you know, the bottom line is you want to be out there and healthy and run your best race on marathon day.
And I think that does about it for...
Except for one thing, Michael. Do you remember what it is? We have to give away some socks.
Right.
Yeah. So why don't you choose the number? And then we had 5 questions today. And I will let you know who won the socks because I put the names in random order.
We'll go with number 5.
That's Beth. So Beth...
Anderson.
Yeah, so send us an email at questions at MickeyMilesPodcast.com or send me a note on Facebook in our Facebook group. And Beth, send your address and your shoe size and we will get you out some socks. Congratulations and thanks to everybody who wrote questions in.
And so if you would like to have a chance at getting a pair of Sock Geek socks, then... please feel free to send in your questions at questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. And if you'd like to, you can also give us your question on Facebook, or even better, pick up the phone and call us at 407-545-2141. And when you call us, leave your name, where you're from, and leave your question, and we'll put it on the next show. Actually, we'll have you actually speak on the next show. We will play your question on the show and we will answer it too. So for Michelle Scribner McLean, my name is Mike Scopa, and we'll see you on the road.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.